Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Continuing with the discussion of what constitutes gambling. We have the four regulative principles that Srila Prabhupada gave us, which are derived from Shastra, which we have to follow. No gambling. What exactly does it mean, no gambling? We're trying to understand this. Yesterday I covered stocks, shares, business speculation, what Srila Prabhupada refers to as business speculation, as well as a little bit I touched what is obviously and clearly gambling, things like roulette and lottery. Now, this topic, we're not going to find much mention, probably, of the name Krishna, not nearly as much as in talks on Vishnu Sahasranam, for instance, but it's all for the same purpose. Where's Krishna? Why are we talking all these things? Where's Krishna? But it's all meant for the same purpose. These talks are meant for devotees who are very serious about attaining Krishna consciousness, and this is on the level of this discussion of gambling. Knowing what it is on the level of abhideya, the process of devotional service that we have to follow in order to attain Krishna. We need to understand these things so that we can go forward clearly, solidly, and maybe to help us explain to others also who are coming newly to Krishna consciousness, or maybe even after many years, they may not understand so many things. So if you want only Krishna, 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 then Vishnu Sahasranam, but we also need to know the process by which we're going to attain Krishna. So these kinds of talks are important also. Today I want to cover mental speculation and sports, which Srila Prabhupada equated with gambling. Now, that's not within the normal English usage of the word gambling, but Srila Prabhupada equated it with these two things with gambling. Business speculation, we can understand, it's something like gambling. You put your money into something which is risky, highly risky, with the hope of getting more money back. So we can understand business speculation as being equivalent to gambling, but mental speculation, it's not really gambling except in a very broad way. I'm talking about the regular English language definition, except in a very broad way. We can say that, well, by diverting our attention to anything except Krishna, then we're misusing our human life or taking the risk of being born again by not focusing on Krishna. So in a very broad way, it can be called that. But my understanding is that Srila Prabhupada, he equated mental speculation with gambling just to, maybe you say this is a mental speculation, but just to emphasize how devotees really have to give this up. We have to see through the eye of Shastra as received through Guru and Sadhu. In this regard, I am going to read from Srila Prabhupada's purport to Bhagavad Gita, chapter 2, text 56. It's nice to read it from an actual book, Bhagavad Gita as it is. Because this verse is discussing the nature of a sthita dhi muni. Srila Prabhupada opens his purport to this verse. This is the first time. If we take Srila Prabhupada's books, generally, just like in the Veda base, we have first the Bhagavad Gita, then Bhagavatam, then Chaitanya Charitamrita. So if we take Gita as first among these, then this is the first time that Srila Prabhupada mentions the term mental speculation within his books. So Srila Prabhupada writes, the word muni means one who can agitate his mind in various ways for mental speculation without coming to a factual conclusion. And the second time Srila Prabhupada mentions in Bhagavad Gita as it is, the term mental speculation is the well-known quote, or it's part of a bigger quote, philosophy without religion is mental speculation. Mental speculation means going round and round in circles without, or maybe not in circles, following a long trail, but not coming to a factual conclusion. It's philosophy without religion. Srila Prabhupada equates mental speculation with mundane scholarship. And mundane scholarship, a crucial feature of academia, is agnosticism. And I'm not talking about agnosticism in the pristine sense of the term, meaning, well, we don't know if there's God or not. Maybe there is, maybe there isn't. But in the sense of all knowledge, we can't know anything. This is the underlying principle of all everything that we learn in the agnostic culture, secular culture, we can say. In India, they promote secularism. The idea that, well, we can't really know anything for sure, although some things, they say, are very sure. Well, actually, some things I accept as sure. 2 + 2 = 4. But then if you go deeply philosophically, how can you go philosophically into 2 + 2 = 4? What is that is meant by 2? Is there any such thing as 2 anything? Because how can you define any one thing anyway? Just like you can say, well, this is a human body. Yeah, but where does it begin? Where does it end? The body that we're looking at now, a moment later, it's different because everything's changing all the time. If you really want to get into mental speculation, then nothing is clear. Mundane philosophy, the result of studying it is the more you study it, the more you become confused. Actual knowledge is supposed to give us light. Agyanatimirandhasya gyananjana shalakaya chakshurin militam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha. With the eyes of knowledge, the guru gives us knowledge which cleanses away the covering on the eyes by which we can see things factually as they are. We can understand. But the more we get into mundane philosophy, the more we find out that anything you say is, well, there's a whole philosophy of language and communication and language and what does it actually mean? You can't, if you want to question, which that's what philosophers do, then practically at every syllable you can get stuck with objections. You can't, even there's logic. But even in logic, you have to accept certain axioms. But if you protest against the axioms, this is extreme skepticism. If you protest against the axioms, then you can't do philosophy. In science also, there are certain, what they call it science, but it rests on certain unprovable axioms. They say science is supposed to prove this and that and everything else, but it rests on certain axioms. For instance, that the laws of nature are applicable in all times, all places and circumstances, even places we haven't been to or seen. And again, there may be some theoretical scientists who question that, but basically that's how science goes on. That's how they find out the laws of physics. It's the same whether you're at the bottom of the Pacific Ocean or at the top of Mount Everest or out in deep outer space. The laws of physics, we may not understand them all, but they operate in the same way. That's only presumed. It's unprovable, but it's just presumed. That's one of several axioms to do philosophy, to even discuss philosophy, you have to accept so many axioms. For instance, that I was going to say there is existence, but then there are those who say there is nothing but existence. But you have to operate within the realm of existence to postulate that there is no such thing as existence. So at least theoretically, you have to accept. But that's another philosophy. You don't accept that anything exists. You can't discuss anything unless they mutually accept to use a language, and here I'm talking about a linguistic language, not a computer language, unless they accept to use a language in which the meanings of words are accepted and understood by all parties involved. And words may be specifically defined, or neologisms can be invented, but you have to accept the same language. Otherwise, you can't discuss philosophy at all. And in this way, it's, as Sri Shankaracharya himself said, Shabda Jala Maharanyam Kevala Chitta Brahmanam. The whole realm of philosophy is just a jungle or a network of sounds, words, which simply bewilder the mind. Well, that's what he was engaged in a kind of propagating a philosophical system which simply confuses because it's ununderstandable. Now, I won't get into all that now. Nirvachaniya. Everything is one. Brahman is one. There is only Brahman. But what about me and you? And Brahman is all bliss, but this world is full of suffering. Well, how does the world of suffering come about? Anivachaniya. You can't describe it. Oh. Doesn't make sense. It seems to make sense to them. Anyway, mundane scholarship, this kind of intellectual masturbation in which you take pleasure in agitating your mind. The word muni means one who can agitate his mind in various ways for mental speculation without coming to a factual conclusion. Real intellectualism is aimed at understanding the Param Satya. We may say, well, Shankara's philosophy is also aimed at that. Yeah, but he got it wrong. There may be so many philosophies which they aim at the ultimate truth, the ultimate reality, but some of them get it very badly wrong. So what is mental speculation? Mundane scholarship. Mundane scholarship can also be religious scholarship if it's not aimed at understanding the Param Satya, if it's some kind of sectarian religion, tribal god, or if it's not guided by Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. Why is it equated with gambling? It brings us into the realm of uncertainty. You just don't know. To know Krishna means to know everything, as we hear at the end of the 15th chapter, almost penultimate verse. Yomam eva samurho jana ti purusho tamam sasarvavid bhajati mam sarva bhavena bharata. One who knows me, Krishna says, as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, without doubting, knows everything. And therefore worships me on that basis. In all respects, they worship me. Now, this is very different from the kind of so-called spiritual presentation in which, what's the actual point of it all? What is the point of making jokes, beating around the bush, but what is the point? With Srila Prabhupada as a genuine acharya, it was very clear what he had to say. You might not accept it if you're a fool, but it's very clear what he has to say. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We're all his eternal servants. We have to surrender to Krishna. We have to chant the Maha Mantra. It's all very clear. That personally, and I know myself and many others had this experience, being fed up with all this input. At that time, there was a lot of interest in Eastern mysticism in the West, and there still is, but it's become embedded in the demoniac New Age movement. Is there another New Age movement which is not demoniac? No, it's all demoniac. It's all rascaldom. It's all impersonalism. Feel good, be nice, but no Krishna, or watered down Krishna. So there's a lot of interest, and people are reading Hermann Hesse books and the Tibetan Book of the Dead. It's described in Srila Prabhupada Lilamrita. To some extent, the Tibetan Book of the Dead. What else? The Dharma Bums, things like that. So I wasn't reading so much of it, but enough to get really fed up of it. I thought it's horrible. It just confuses you more. So I was very relieved when I got the clear message from Srila Prabhupada, which makes sense. Makes sense. Why is there suffering in the world? That's the problem of evil. It's not a problem. It is a problem, but it's a theological problem. If God is all good and he's all powerful, why doesn't he stop suffering in the world? Well, we know, because we learned from Bhagavad Gita, from Srila Prabhupada. Purusha sukha dukkhanam bhutritve hetu ruchyate. We make our own bed and we sleep in it. We are the cause of our own distress and so-called happiness. So mundane intellectualism, mental speculation, it brings us into the realm of uncertainty, whereas in Krishna consciousness, we have to adapt from the outset. Vyavasayatmika buddhir ekeha kurunandana. One-pointed focus, very clear. Everything Srila Prabhupada said is very clear. And the opposite, bahushakahi anantascha buddhiyo avavisayanam. Those whose consciousness is not fixed, then he goes off in many, 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 many different branches. Once in Mauritius, Srila Prabhupada gave a public program, and there were many so-called important people. There was a British man there from the British embassy, one of the staff, and he said, well, you seem to be very clear. And the British man took it as a fault in Prabhupada's presentation, because Prabhupada doesn't say things well, like, I think, in my opinion, it might be like this. Maybe Srila Prabhupada said, it is like this. And Srila Prabhupada, although it was offered as a criticism, not harshly put, but as a doubt, Prabhupada took it as a compliment. He said, thank you very much. You can see, you can find it in the Veda base there. So, Krishna consciousness means to clearly know that Krishna is supreme. He said, how can you know? How can you know? Well, we have faith. We have faith. We saw Srila Prabhupada. We saw a perfect Krishna conscious person. We can see him now through his words, by reading his books, listening to his talks, following his instructions. Srila Prabhupada included mental speculation in the four regulative principles of things to be avoided because it kills genuine spiritual life. We can't be Krishna conscious if we're not convinced about Krishna consciousness. And we find that people who have taken to Krishna consciousness and then they get doubts and this and that, it's always accompanied by devolution into sense gratification. It's not just philosophical that now I've become very intellectual, but it's what's going on is actually they're putting on a veneer of being very intellectual, and I doubt this and I doubt that, but underneath is the strong desire for sense gratification and lack of desire. They know they have to surrender to Krishna, but lack of desire to do so due to rascaldom, that's all. Insincerity. Mental speculation kills spiritual life. That doesn't mean we should be dogmatic. That doesn't mean that we should not try to understand this philosophy from various angles, as Srila Prabhupada said. Srila Prabhupada distinguished mental speculation from philosophical speculation. Srila Prabhupada said that philosophical speculation means that we accept the statements in Shastra, but then we apply our minds, and that may be with the help of others, discussion with others, to try to understand how it is true. But we don't question that it might not be true. So there's a little discussion of mental speculation. Now, I wanted to go on to sports, but actually I had a lot more to say about sports. So I think I'll leave that for tomorrow, and we can think about not mentally speculating. Don't speculate, or we can philosophically speculate about why mental speculation is so dangerous for our onward progress in Krishna consciousness. So I'll finish there for now, and Krishna willing, tomorrow I will discuss about sports, a major phenomenon in the modern world. Hare Krishna. Mancha kalpa tarubhyascha. Kripa sindubhyevacha patitanam pavanebhyo. Vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Dante nithaya chirnakang padaya nipatya kritva chakaku shatameta daham bravimi. He sadhava sakala eva vihaya durad. Gauranga chandra charane kurutanuragaha. Parivadatu jano yata tatava nanumukaro navayang. Vichara yamaha. Hari rasa madira madati matta bhuvi vilutama nartama nirvishama. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.